John chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. I'll be reading this out of the New International Version. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie. It was the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid said, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. Now, with this reading in mind, I want us to kind of think about ourselves here. Who are we in this story? You know, here we are, we're a good number of people here this morning. We're encouraged by one another. We are remembering what Christ has done for us. We're here at Ephesus in Piney Chapel, Alabama. Population 71. You know, we got about the whole thing here. And when we think about the who we are and how we got here, and we think about this place in Jerusalem, and there was this pool over there, there was this fountain, and there was, and according to legend, and according to even other versions who make reference to it, there was an angel that would come and it would stir up this water in this pool, and everyone would flock and jump in the pool, and whoever was the first in, they would get healed, and everyone else would, you know, would just be like, "Well, I have to catch it next time." And some think that, well, what it was they built this fountain around in the city of Jerusalem. It was around a hot spring, and that's what was coming up, and people would get well from maybe the hot water or whatever. And there's all kinds of different ideas, and here comes Jesus, and he says, "Well, sir, do you want to get well? You've been in this situation. You've been paralyzed. You've been crippled for a long, long time. Do you not want to get better?" And the man's reaction, the man's statement is this, and it's very clear: "I got no one to help me. I have no one to help me. I want to get better, but I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have a chance. I can't use my legs. I'm crawling around on my elbows and my forearms are bloody, my hands, and by the time I get well and get over my sores on my arms and my elbows, I here comes the pool again and I rip the scabs back open, and I don't have anybody to help me." And there may be moments, there may be times, there may be even the right now where you feel just like this man who is lying by the pool of Bethesda. "I got no help. I need so much. We need help. A helper to give us hope. A helper to give us a chance. A helper to give us life. We may not be lame or blind or sick physically, but we all have a desperate need of something that we cannot do ourselves." We find ourselves, just as a song, and thank you, Eric, for leading it, we find ourselves in need. Second John chapter 1, verse 3, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love." That's what we need. We're in need of all sorts of different things. It portrays this message that we are helpless and that we need help, and in need we need help that only He can provide. "I have no one to help me." You know, the words in this song are really not a lot. It's really not a lot of different words in it. Well, neither is Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, and we all know how great of a hit that was. I mean, it only had four different lines in it. They sung in a different order. You lying all the time. You ain't ever caught a rabbit. You ain't no friend of mine. You said you was high class, and that was a lie. That's all. That just repeats that over and over and over again, and everybody thinks that's the greatest hit there ever was. And then we look at this song, and it really just repeats the same two kind of main ideas a few times with a different kind of melody and a little different harmony to it. In need of grace, in need of love, in need of mercy raining down from high above, in need of strength, in need of peace, in need of things that only you can give to me, in need of Christ, the perfect Lamb, my refuge strong, the great I am. This is my song, my humble plea. I am your child and I am in need. That's it. That's kind of like, this is my prayer. This is what I need. I know you're the only one that can provide it. You are my help in a time of trouble, and I am asking you, I am begging you, I am realizing that I need you. Because I can't help myself. What do we need? If we go to this song and we look at it line by line, we find ourselves in need of grace. And grace is getting what we don't deserve. It is unmerited favor. In other words, perhaps you ought to get, you know, a lump of coal for Christmas. But instead, you get a box of lollipops. Did you do anything that, no, you got something you didn't deserve as grace. And so when we look at the idea behind grace, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. So you aren't going to be able to work yourself into this by following the law. But now in verse 21, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, they were going to tell you about the things that were going to come. They themselves don't really have anything to do with it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And here, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So, you know, we're getting something we don't deserve. You know, I deserve death, and instead of death, He's going to give me a gift. He's going to show grace to me and give me something that I don't deserve. The next line says, I'm in need of love. Now, we could go through love. We could preach on love for a whole year. We could talk about all the different types of love and how to act with love. But if I was just going to sum up what love is, it's affection shown for another. And perhaps if you were loved by someone, it is someone showing you affection. And that doesn't have to be physical. That can be emotional. That can be spiritual. You know, we are showing affection for one another. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we think about the affection that is shown to us as sinners, about how God shows His love in giving us this great gift that we didn't deserve, He shows us His love. And while we were weak and while we were unable, and we were trying to follow the law, maybe we were trying to earn our own, He says, no, I'm going to show you my love because you're still sinners. It wasn't that we decided that we were going to show him how great we loved him, and he said, well, I'll reciprocate that back to you. No, he came out and stepped out first and showed up and showed out with his love in such a way that we can't understand. It is so great and it's so grand that we can't contain the whole. If the world was a whole scroll, if everyone was a scribe, if the oceans were ink and if the skies were of parchment made, no one could understand this love of God that He has shown. He says we need mercy. Now, oftentimes we use grace and mercy kind of interchangeably, and I think, you know, I'm not going to just get on to everybody for it or anybody really, but they're not really the same thing. Mercy is now, grace is getting what we don't deserve. And mercy is not getting what we deserve. So he's showing us mercy in the fact that we're deserving of hellfire, and he says, you know, you deserve that, but I'm not going to put that on you. I'm going to have compassion upon you. I'm going to show you this great mercy. We, because of sin, are deserving of death, yet because of mercy, and Him showing us forgiveness instead. One of the things of which the psalmist many times would write greatly about and how they were appreciative of God's mercy. In Psalm 25, verse 6, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. There's two of the things that we need right there. For they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions according to your steadfast love. Remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Jesus tells the Pharisees that God desires mercy and not sacrifice. Neither do those who are well have need of a physician, but those who are sick. He has shown His mercy time and time again, and He desires the same out of us. He expects the same out of us. When we are to live in this world, that we are to show mercy just like the mercy that we have been shown. The forgiveness and the compassion that we have been shown, we should distribute and that we should display to others. We need mercy. We need to also give mercy. We need strength. Strength is another one of those words that's kind of hard to, explain. It's easier to see. You know, if somebody, you know, picks an elephant up, puts it over their head, they got some strength. But where is the tipping point of where you go? You look at somebody and you go, well, they're strong or they're not strong. Like, at what point do you say that person's not strong? And it all has to do with whether you think that person can beat you up or not. And at that point, you think that person is strong. Because anybody, you know, they're not that strong. If you call them out on it, well, they may sock you in the head and prove to you how strong they are. But strength is the ability to withstand an object or substance that has great force. So you're kind of, and when we think about it this way, it's kind of like this idea that we stand in this vulnerable world and maybe we realize that we are weak and that we're not great, that we're small. How long can we weather a storm, per se? We need strength to help us in those times of trouble, in those times that we have those storms. Isaiah 40, beginning of verse 29, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He is so big and strong and powerful, there's nothing my God cannot do, and He too can give us the same strength. When we wait upon the Lord and we understand that He is the source of our strength. It is not something of our own doing. It is not something that we have learned ourselves. But it is us admitting that I need the help. And that I am looking for the source of help in the right place and finding strength in Him. Peace. Now, if you were to ask anyone who is trying to be Miss America, you know, what is the thing that you want most? World peace. That's what they all say. I want peace. What does peace really mean? What kind of peace are you looking for? Are you looking for peace like where they just don't show that they hate each other? Are you looking for peace where they really don't hate each other? They just learn to give along, you know, or are you looking for that that's like, well, I really don't like my neighbor, but I'm learning to get along with them because I don't have no choice. Peace is a relief from oppression, whether that is emotional or physical. Sometimes we need peace that is a physical peace, where we are not in battle or conflict or fighting or war. And sometimes you just want that overwhelming peace where, you know, it's okay. It's all right. And neither one of those things are easy to achieve. In either way of that, looking at that peace. But when we look for peace in the right place, although it may not be easy, we find that it is easy for Him to give. And this is one of the things that which Jesus leaves with His disciples in John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You know, a peace treaty is going to last as long as both parties agree that we're going to let this thing last. As soon as one party within this peace treaty decide, you know what, I don't like the way this peace treaty is written. I feel like I was treated unfair, or maybe it was just the fact of, well, that's so outdated, I'm over it. Well, then immediately the two go to war. And it is all out, breakout. The world's idea of peace is not grand at all. But Jesus says, I'm going to leave you with peace that the world can't leave you with, that you can't find in the world. I'm going to give you that kind of peace. We think about how often did Jesus find peace. I find it hard to believe that the way that we view peace and the way that He viewed peace are the same. Because I don't think I'd have very much peace in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that these people are about to try to take me over and they're going to go kill me. I don't think the peace within is going to be very strong in my worldly mindset. But the way that He was saying, well, you know, I'm not really excited about this. I'd really rather not do it, but I am at peace with your will as the Father. And I will do what you would have me to do. You see, He made this realization, and He shows us the same realization that I am in need of things that only you can give to me. You are the only source in which I can find these things that of the things that I need, of grace, of love, of mercy, of strength, and of peace. You are the only place that I can find this. I might find temporary grace. I might find some temporary love with someone. I might find some temporary mercy. I might go to the gym. I might find temporary strength. I may go to another source, a bottle or a line to find temporary strength or temporary peace. But it will go away quicker than it arrived. I'm in need of things that only you can give to me. Well, what did He give? Well, He gave Christ. As the song continues, the perfect Lamb. In John chapter 1, in verse 29, here it says this, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, this is John the Baptist, and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And again, it repeats down in verse 36, there in the beginning of verse 35, the next day John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus, and as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. In need of Christ, in need of the perfect Lamb, and He gives it. He shows it. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 tells us about the blood of that Lamb and what it has done. And they have conquered Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Not just any lamb, this was the perfect lamb that takes away the sin of the world and makes those in its blood who have been washed in its blood conquerors. The perfect lamb. This is not the lamb. This is not the blood of bulls or goats or some sheep of faraway land. This is the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice that we were in need of, and He gave it to us. You see, in this He provided us a savior. He provided us a savior, a sacrifice in our place, a redeemer. One who has brought us back of impending death. The road in which we are leading and the road that we, the life that we were living before Him was leading us to death. Certain death because of our sin. We had sinned and so we were going to face death. And then out of nowhere, God says, you know what, I'm going to give you something in your place. And this is going to lay as a way to buy you back from the sin that you were facing, from the punishment you were facing. Abraham tells Isaac that God will provide. Remember, here they are. Abraham is going to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And they are going up the mountain. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father, yes, here I am, my son. But behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. You know, we could look at this in both ways of having the faith of Abraham, and we could look at it like we are Isaac, and here we are, we're about to go die. And out of nowhere, He says, here, take this. Take this instead. With a debt that we ourselves could not pay, the blood of bulls and goats could not satisfy the Father, He gave up His Son so that we might have redemption through His blood. What else did He give us? He gave us a strong refuge. A refuge strong. Psalm 18 verses 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from my enemies. David's trying to escape from Saul, and he retreats into the mountains. And he says, you, God, are my rock. Here I am in the fortress of the mountains, well protected and hidden in caves. But you are my rock. You are my deliverer. You are my strength. You are my refuge. It is to you that I go. In Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains may be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. A refuge strong. This is a reminder that God, the Lord of hosts, is with us. That we have a fortress about us that cannot be torn down. That we have this rock that is immovable that we can lean on, that we can find a stronghold in when we are attacked by the enemy. What a refuge strong that He has provided. And then the last bit says this, I am your child. I am in need. you know, thinking about being a child of God, we, in order to really get there, you have to realize a few things. You have to realize that you're nothing. Nothing, nothing at all, none. You don't have anything without Him. You're empty without Him. Vulnerable without Him. You're doomed without Him. I am in need. Unlike any other need, I lie miserable and vulnerable and empty, destitute without Jesus. The perfect Lamb given by the great I Am to show us mercy and love and grace and strength and peace. And there I lie, destitute and empty, hopeless and wondering why, seeking to understand but never really being understood. Just like the man by the pool, I find myself with not having any help. No one's there to help me. But just like that man by the pool, the only one that can help you is Him. And if you're here this morning, you find yourself in need, I turn you no further than to Jesus and to what He has provided in fulfilling not only the needs of this life, but doing so far exceeding any of our expectations. Far exceeding those needs that we have in a way that we never dreamed possible. Showing us the grace and love and mercy and strength and power and peace. And it's all found in the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.